Let's open with prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We're not together and within hugging distance, but we're together as what we can be, Lord. And we praise you that we have this technology to still get your word out, Lord, and to speak to one another. And we praise you for that. We thank you for the Thanksgiving we had. And we continue to give you thanks in each and every day that we have. Lord, we just ask that the words spoken today are yours, that they only hear your voice and your word. And Lord, we pray for those on our prayer list. I know there was a young man killed in a four-wheeler accident. We pray for his family today, along with those others on our list, Lord, and that were added this week, that you would just be with them and just make your presence felt in healing and just lifting them up. So, Lord, just be with us today. We ask your Spirit to speak to us, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to start out with a little bit, just a reminder of Advent. We were going to have an Advent reading today, so maybe we'll double up on those next week. But I just wanted to remind everybody what Advent was about. Sometimes there's confusion as to what Advent really means. Advent really means coming or arrival. And Israel looked forward to the Messiah coming, while the church today looks forward to Christ's return. So Advent is a way to keep Christ in Christmas, as we like to say, and to see his representations of his qualities and his character in the candles. And candles are used to represent hope, peace, joy, and love. And there's a wreath to represent eternal life. And then there's a center candle that's white that stands for Christ, represents him. So I just wanted a quick reminder of those things. And we know hope, I refer to Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So you notice a lot of these are intermingled, hope and peace and joy, as they're all intermingled together here. But hope is not a wish. You know, sometimes, well, I hope this happens, meaning I wish this happens, but it's not a wish. It's a biblical hope is a strong and confident expectation. It's knowing something that's going to take place. It's trusting something so much, you know it's true. You know it's going to happen. And our God is a God of hope given by the Holy Spirit when we trust in him. And it goes along with repentance and readiness for his coming, that we know he's coming back. So we have that hope no matter what things happen to us here. We have that hope in Christ Jesus. Another candle is peace. John 14:27. John 14:27. A lot of these verses you're familiar with. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So again, it's not the peace that you think of the world. You know, we want peace to live, to intermingle with each other and not have battles and be able to work together. Peace of God is something different. Peace from God is the peace that passes all understanding. It's hard to understand and explain what that peace is. It overcomes trouble. It overcomes fear. It overcomes sadness. And that's all because our hope and trust is in him and not ourselves. Knowing he's in control of all things should give us peace and comfort. And then in the middle of painful experiences, we can know he has a plan and it's going to be okay. We don't have to worry about those things. One of Jesus' names is the Prince of Peace. So he is the Prince of Peace. Third candle is joy. John 15:11 says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You know, that my joy, Jesus' joy, Christ's joy may be in you and your joy be made complete. You know, happiness is a feeling we've talked about comes and goes, and it's based on moments in time. It doesn't last forever. Joy is an attitude of the heart that lasts as long as we allow it to be there. You know, our joy comes from the Lord because everything else is temporary, while he is eternal. And it's a response we choose because we know God. And we can have that joy in our heart because of who He is. Last one is love. John 15:12-13. John 15, chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. I'll get that right. He says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Love's really the one true commandment. Love God and love others. Because if there's love, it takes care of all the other commandments. Because you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to kill. You're going to put God first. All those things take place. But love is at its best when it's given. You can't just look for it to receive it. It's at its best when it's given. And if you give it, you'll get a return on that. But it's to give. You know, hope, peace, and joy, those are more inward attributes of how we can feel. Love is more outward. Love is placing others above ourselves and loving them. And this is the season of hope, peace, joy, and love. As we get into the Christmas season, and it leads up to the birth of Christ, when those things are fulfilled in the flesh, when baby Jesus is born, and they remain a part of those believers until it's fulfilled in Christ's return. And yet for so many people, it is a time of depression and loneliness and sadness, and some because of relationships or at least a lack of them. Some have a lack of family, lack of friends. Some is just missing Jesus in their life. He's not there. But it's our call to minister to others about Jesus and offer them the hope, peace, joy, and love that we have. That's what we're called to do. I want to start out today with Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him, and he asked him, 'Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So we know that's Jesus' ascension, but we get that the apostles are standing there. They've been instruction on what they're supposed to do, and they're standing there, and they're still gazing, they're kind of in awe, but at the same time, we got a couple of angels there saying, "Why are you still there? Why are you still standing there? He gave you some instructions. You need to obey them. He said, you were chosen to be witnesses of the gospel. Now go and tell others about Jesus. And once you've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're qualified to go and tell. You're ready to go because that Holy Spirit is going to show you what to do, going to guide you in what to do. And he says, you are my witnesses all over the earth. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go. We're go and tell. So we ask ourselves, why don't we? Why do we find it so hard? Or why don't we tell people about Jesus? Why don't we tell others? We look at the Bible. Jonah at least had some excuse. He didn't want to. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. He didn't want to see them saved. You know, and he knew God would do it if they repented. You know, he didn't want them saved. That was his excuse. I don't think any of us feel like that. Hopefully we don't. But maybe there's other reasons. Maybe there's fear. You know, maybe fear of repercussions. Maybe fear of someone getting angry with us. Maybe there's fear of somebody may say mean things to me. You know, sometimes maybe you feel embarrassed. Well, tell that to God when you see him. I don't think he's going to like that. And you might think to yourself, or they're not interested, or they don't want to hear it. Well, it's been studied, and between November 30th and December 30th, people are most likely to listen to gospel-type speak. They will listen. I think people sort of expect it, and we need to make use of that. I mean, we need to do it all year round, but in the month of December, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, people are more likely to receive that because they kind of expect that sort of gospel to be told about Jesus. That's why we celebrate these things. So we need to make use of that and spend our time and ask those things. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, just verses 13 through 16. It says, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear the threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So we need to have a plan. We need to have an answer. When people ask us, you know, why do you feel like that? Or how can you believe? We need to know our answer. We need to have an answer. And we should have if we believe. And we need to tell people. Just start up a conversation. But it says do this in gentleness and respect. There's ways to do it and ways not to do it. I heard a story once, you know, it was a battle. It was a wrestling match, a test of wills. Every day at exactly the same time, Margaret would go to the bathroom cabinet, open it up, and take out a huge bottle of castor oil. Then she would head to the kitchen to get a tablespoon. And at the sound of the drawer opening and silverware rattling, Patches, her Yorkshire Terrier, would run and hide. Sometimes under the bed, other times in the bathtub, other times behind her recliner chair. Patches the dog knew what was coming, because someone had convinced Margaret that her beloved dog would have strong teeth, a beautiful coat, and a long life if she just gave him a spoonful of castor oil every day. So as an act of love, every 24 hours, she cornered Patches, she pinned him down, pried open his mouth, and as he whimpered and squirmed and fought her with all his strength, she poured a tablespoon of castor oil down his little doggy throat. Now, neither Patches nor Margaret enjoyed the daily wrestling match. That wasn't their fun part of the day. But then in one day, as she was doing this in the middle of their battle royal, with one sideways kick, Patches sent the dreaded bottle of castor oil flying across the kitchen floor. Well, it was a momentary victory for Patches, because Margaret let him go so she could run to the pantry and grab a towel to clean up the mess. But you know what happened? When Margaret got back, she was shocked. There was Patches licking up the spilled castor oil with a look of satisfaction only a dog can make. Margaret began to laugh uncontrollably. And in one moment, it all made sense. Patches liked castor oil. He liked it. He wanted it. He just hated being pinned down and having it forced down his throat. You know, we need to give the message, but we need to give it in gentleness and respect, as the word says. You know, and God made each of you unique. You know, each one of you are unique. Each one shares the word in their own way and without whatever ability God has given you, that he's provided for you. In a Bible, they didn't do it the same way. Peter was an evangelist. You know, he probably yelled a little bit. He was bold. He was direct. He was confident. He was courageous. Paul, on the other hand, you know, had a little different people he was talking to. You know, he was sent for the Gentiles. He was more intellectual type. He defended the faith, but he did it with logic and reasonable arguments because he was talking to Greek philosophers and other people like that. So he used what they needed to hear. You know, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, she just told others what had happened to her. You know, she went back, said, he told me everything I ever did. He knew all about me. She just went and told what happened to her and invited them to come and see, come and hear. So she just shared her experiences and invited them to join in. And then a lot of the other people that Jesus healed, blindness, deafness, those things in the Bible, they just told what happened to them. They didn't try to do more than that. They just told what their experience was with Jesus, what had happened to them, how he had worked in their life. You know, a startup conversation right now is fairly easy, especially now at Christmas time. You know, at the woman at the well, Jesus didn't start right in on her. He started in, he just said, will you get me a drink? Will you get me a drink of water? That evolved into talking about water and evolved into revealing himself as the Christ. And through that conversation, but it began just asking for a drink of water. You know, just a general conversation. You know, as experienced just this week, you know, Joni and the bus, you know, we were looking for we found a place to store it for the winter. But as it goes, you can mention a bus for a ministry to a storage facility worker. And with that, you can find out, yeah, he goes to church. But yeah, he has a grandson that lost his parents, lost his brothers and sisters, and is now living with them, you know, his grandparents. You know, he's lost everything in his mind. A 16-year-old who lost his way. You know, he lost his family. He's kicked out of school, in trouble, thoughts of suicide. You learn these things when you talk to people. Then you find out the story goes as they share. Because then at Thanksgiving dinner, a woman relative of theirs who invited them to dinner, a woman relative with terminal cancer, says the blessing and gives thanks for so many things. And you find a young man who asks, how can that be? How can that be? How can she be thankful? And it goes into a conversation again about what happens about faith and knowing God and his promises. And that she can be thankful because she knows who God is. She knows God as Savior. She knows his promises. So she can be thankful in all things. And this young man decided he wanted to go to church. He wanted to have what she has. It takes sharing to get to that. We've been asked to put him on our prayer list, and we will. I'll share more with you next week. But sharing helps both of us. Sharing helps all of us. We all grow. We're all blessed by it. Our faith grows by sharing. Now, just tell your story. You know, if you don't know how, use the cross version. I should have drew it since I was doing it this message this way, but just draw your cross out on the with BC on the left and AD on the right. B AC on the, BC on the left and AD on the right. And if you don't know where to start, just tell how you were before Christ, the BC, before the cross, before Christ, how your life was. And then tell him how you were after the cross, after the AD, after death to self. After death to self. Just tell him the difference the cross made in your life, how the difference Jesus made in your life. You know, it doesn't take a big story. It just takes your story. It just takes your experiences. It just takes your love for someone. I know we have an invitation now, so I invite you at home to do what you need to do and to think about things. But I want to close with Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7. Isaiah 63, verse 7 says, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. I would substitute Israel and put your name in there. Yes, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord's and all he's done, according to all he's done. Yes, the many good things he's done for Tom or Ralph or Kathy or, you know, any one of you. Put your name in there. Just tell of the many things he's done for you. That's all you have to do. The Holy Spirit will work out with the other person what he hears and how he understands it. But you know, now's the time to share your faith with others without any excuses. Now's the time. I believe time is short. But you just share your experiences. Tell people how God is. Tell him how good he is. Tell him you can be thankful for it. You know, they need it. And quite honestly, God requires it. That's what he's commanded us to do. I think you'll find out it will bless both of you. It helps us all to grow. Someone out there needs to hear your story. Someone out there needs you to speak to them. Someone out there needs you to tell them about Jesus. So we need to go. You need to go and make a difference to them. It doesn't take as much as you think it does. Just do what Jesus did for you. Just speak to them. Just tell them the truth. Just tell them how Jesus is in your life and what that means to you. That's what we're called to do this every day, but especially this season. It makes it so easy to come up and talk about the birth of Jesus and what that means. That God gave his son for us. Not to condemn us, but to make us right with him. That he should die for our sins. So tell someone your story. Make a difference for God. God will use you in the moment you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for each and every person listening, Lord. I ask you to bless them. I ask you to speak to their hearts. I ask you to give them the boldness and the confidence just to be who they are. That's all you want them to be, just to be who they are and tell what you did for them. Tell how you're in their life, just each and every day, just the little things, just to speak to people about you and who you are. And I pray that your kingdom grows from it. Lord, we thank you. I praise you. And we give you the glory in all things. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I hope to see you next week. Back in church, hopefully. We're decorating the church Wednesday and Thursday. If you remember, the church decoration will be Wednesday. We'll be there at least by 1 o'clock. And I think Thursday, the community building, at least by 1 o'clock, get those on. And then we've got other things going on this week. Look at, I have a bulletin, by the way. But, Wednesday and Thursday, and then we have the Remember the Christmas dinner on Friday. This Friday, the 5th at 6 p.m. So put those on your calendar, a busy time, but keep Christ the main thing. So again, thanks for joining me this morning if you were able. Hopefully we'll plan on getting back together. See you all this week, and have a blessed day.